This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, boosts muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com, you can save 10% on every order when you put the code FIT10 in the comments section at checkout. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high-octane corrective exercises and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and with me this week is, you know, you love him, JimmySmithTraining.com, JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com.
What's up, guys? How's it feels good to be back.
So, Jimmy, what's going on, man? We just talked to Chris Bell, and it was probably one of the greatest interviews we've ever had.
It might have been. We've had some really good interviews, and I can think of two or three really good ones, but that was an awesome interview with Chris Bell.
Yeah, he's just very enthusiastic, and it was funny. I called him, and he's just like, oh, wait, is this Kevin? Yep, I'm just walking out of the gym, and I'm like, that's pretty cool. I'm guessing it's obviously noon there, so that would be about right. Yeah. But, yeah, we did just have Chris Bell with Bigger, Stronger, Faster on, and you're going to be listening to that in a couple minutes. But I'm going to talk a little bit about some stuff we got going on at the website. Well, first off, make sure you're checking out for your blogs throughout the week. Jimmy, are you on Twitter yet?
I am on Twitter. I've been on Twitter for probably 3 or 4 months now.
Okay. What's the link?
It's Jimmy Smith. Let me check it real quick.
I think it's got to be twitter.com/Jimmy Smith.
Yeah. It's twitter.com/Jimmy Smith Train.
Train.
Yeah, that's mine. I actually love Twitter. I heard about it a while ago, like when it first started, and I was on it, and I was checking it, and I was checking it, and then all of a sudden it was like exploded like on the fitness industry and with everybody. So, I think it's awesome. It's a great time waster.
Oh, no, it totally is. I've been, you know, reading stuff from Craig Ballantyne is on there a lot, and also now Mike Boyle is using Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great when Mike, someone who, I mean, no offense to Mike, but he doesn't, you know, get along with technology. Exactly. And I think he'd admit that as much as anyone, but it's really cool that you can actually get, you know, little bits of pieces of things that are on people's mind. And Jimmy, like you were saying, it's a good time waster. People can ask you questions on Twitter and you can reply to them. It's really cool.
Yeah. I noticed a lot more people. It's fostering more communication. Like there's some people who you may not be able to reach through email because it's so popular, but Twitter's not as obviously as popular as email. So you can reply to somebody or tweet to somebody, whatever they call it, and maybe get a response back. And I know actually like Zappos.com, which the shoe company, that's a $1 million a year company, mm-hmm. uses it for its customer service. They send Tony Hsieh, the CEO's on it, but he sends them to a different like Twitter username, and that's how they do a lot of their customer service because it's quick. You know, you can put the URLs in and they get shrunk. So a lot of companies are starting to use it too.
How did you get a hold of him? Do you know him?
I just followed him because he spoke at an internet marketing conference a long time ago, and you know he's just obviously runs a super successful company, and I saw it, and I think it was Success Magazine that was talking about how, or the New York Times, I think it was the New York Times, there's a link online talking about how like Zappos even uses it for some customer service stuff now.
Very cool.
Plus it's real time.
What's that?
Plus it's real time too.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And of course, you can check me out. Ladies, twitter.com/KevinLarrabee. Some women follow me, you know?
Yeah, well, why not, man?
Why not, indeed. Let's do a couple things that we want to talk about. First off, still doing Warp Speed Fat Loss. 2 weeks are down, and still pretty smooth sailing. I'm about down 7 pounds in 2 weeks, which is about on track. Nothing massive, but the workouts are kicking my butt, and you know, I'm not suffering too much through the eating part. We actually had Mike Roussel. I did an interview with him a couple days ago, which will be coming up on next week's show, where we'll be talking about Warp Speed Fat Loss and what he's got going on at Naked Nutrition Network. So we'll check all that stuff out. But Jimmy, I think it's worth talking about. Jimmy and I talked before the show. Biotest has a new supplement. They have a new L-leucine supplement. And it's Biotest has had a pretty big, you know, boom in products these last couple weeks. Yeah. Like they've had 11T, which we really haven't talked about on the show, mostly because it's too expensive for anyone except people with lots of money. And they've also, they have a new competitive protein bar called Funny Bar or Finny Bar. But I think we should talk a little bit about leucine. Jimmy, you're a huge proponent of leucine. You talk about it all the time. You talked about it on the show. You talked about it in the Muscle Bible. Let's talk about it again. Let's just help refresh people's minds about, you know, why it's worth their $25 a month or whatever it's going to cost them.
Well, that's the first reason. You just said it right there. You know, $25
it's
a month.
It's cheap.
It's inexpensive. Yeah. You know, and leucine is the anabolic trigger. When they do a lot of research on the branched chain amino acids, they'll find that specifically L-leucine turns on a specific pathway. So it's called the mTOR pathway that signals protein synthesis and therefore an anabolic environment and muscle growth. And more research is coming out supporting L-leucine as a healthy supplement as well, not just a build muscle, burn fat supplement, you know, as a good supplement for overall health. So I thought it was only a matter of time for BioTest to put that out. I use their BCAA pills, and I absolutely love them. But leucine is just fantastic for overall growth and for recovery as well. And they're doing a ton of research on it, and it was nice to see them quote Dr. Lehman and Lane Norton, two guys that are really leading the field in at the University of Illinois, on L-leucine work. And I've talked to Lane a little bit about it myself. And, you know, L-leucine is, whether you like the product or not, you cannot deny the facts about L-leucine. It is as close to a magic bullet as we have as a supplement. I don't like to use that a lot, but it's really good.
Yeah, some questions that a lot of listeners might have, you know, some people might be taking a mixture with, you know, leucine, isoleucine, and valine or something like that. They might be taking a mixture. Is this, you think it would be all right that if they went off that mixture and just went to leucine, or do you think they'll still see benefits by, you know, using that mixture of three branched chain amino acids or more?
Well, I think you still have to use the mixture. Mm-hmm. Simply because if you take too much leucine, you know, the general ratio is 2-1. So 2 leucine to 1 isoleucine and valine. So if you take too much leucine and don't have the other two amino acids, their pool is going to go down. And that's not necessarily what you want. You don't want more of one than of all the three. So you want to keep it in a balance. But that being said, you can add extra leucine. You know, you can add an extra 5 grams to your post-workout shake or an extra 2 grams. You know, so leucine of itself would be really healthy. So if you want to add, like I said, 2 or 5 grams more, and you can do that. You know, I wouldn't go crazy and just say only take out leucine, but it's definitely something people should add to their arsenal, but continue to take the branched chain amino acids. One thing that I don't really like, though, is that you have these people that totally tell you BCAAs, BCAAs, BCAAs. Sustained elevation of blood amino acids makes those amino acids refractory, so basically it makes them useless. So if you see these people that are just chugging gallons and megadosing BCAAs all day, that's really not doing anything. You're kind of wasting your money. You're better off taking a BCAA supplement, taking an L-leucine supplement like the ones that BioTest have, but taking them throughout the day. You know, take them between meals. Don't just sit and down 30 grams of BCAAs at one time. I think that's just ridiculous, and you're seeing a lot of that advice go around these days. But when you look at a lot of the recent research about branched chain amino acids, you're finding that you really shouldn't have consistent amounts in your blood throughout the course of the day, like big amounts. I'm talking 20, 30 grams. I'm not talking 5 grams.
A couple things we want to mention before we do get into the interview, or I should say a couple more things. First off, a couple things about our sponsors, TurbulenceTraining.com, Boost Muscle Growth and Blowtorch Body Fat. Very cool thing with Turbulence Training. Like we've talked about it in the past, they've been with us for more or less the entirety of the show. Craig's been very cool in helping out the show, and you know, he's been bringing great programs to people through ttmembers.com and also just through turbulencetraining.com, from the original fat loss workout to his muscle building stuff. He is also on Twitter if you want to check out Craig's stuff. He's always talking about you know, his daily workout and things like that. But just want to say, you know, it's always a great time to check out Turbulence Training, especially if you want to stay away from those ungodly holiday pounds that are coming up. You know, people say they're not going to do it, they're not going to put on the weight, but everyone tends to put on five or six pounds come that, you know, this holidays when the cookies are out, the, you know, cake is out. But, you know, on that topic, I haven't, you know, cheated in 2 weeks, which is a lot for me. You know, that doesn't sound like it might be a lot for a ton of people, but I was always in that mindset like, oh, it's Friday, it's time for my cheat meal, you know? Right. You know, it's a very weird feeling when you don't even think about it. Like Friday passed a couple of days ago, and I didn't even think about it. Not only because I'm just so busy, but I'm just like locked into doing what I'm doing right now nutritionally, which is, you know, finding interesting things. Like you like pumpkin, right, Jimmy?
Love it.
Like the
Genelcore pumpkin thing that he made.
Oh, not the gross thing. Like I'm talking about, you know.
That's awesome.
But with the green beans.
No, not with green beans.
Are you talking about like the pumpkin and cottage cheese and
yes.
cinnamon?
Yes.
And yeah, vanilla protein. That's awesome. And you know what? The best protein to use is from blackstarlabs.com. Just want to mention that. just want to get some sponsor things in now. Yeah, again, blackstarlabs.com, they're still with us, and they always have great stuff from Cytofuse for post-workout and Ultra Peptide Pro. And Genelcore has... He's actually, don't tell anyone, but he's actually ordered some Ultra Peptide 2.0. He liked it that much. I let him try it. So from a guy that tends to be a biotest guy, which, I mean, biotest still makes good stuff, but trust me, you'll definitely notice a difference when you go with Ultra Peptide 2.0. Just nice creamy taste. It's I go through 5 tubs of the chocolate protein a month. It's too much, and you know what? That's just one of my vices. So maybe I'll do that as a cheat meal come the end of these 4 weeks. But Jimmy, how about you? People love it when we talk about like what's been going on with our training and nutrition. What have you been up to lately?
Before I get into that, I want to ask you a question. Like, are you using any supplements with it? Like, are you using amino acids?
With the diet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, the main things that I'm using right now are I'm using ice, which is my branched-chain amino acid stuff. Again, it's from Blackstar Labs, and I also do use the BioTest tabs for when I don't obviously have water to mix them with, or they're a little bit more convenient. But I'm also using Surge post-workout just because that's how the diet plan is set up, and it fits in perfectly, and that tends to be what's around Crescent Performance, so I usually do Surge, but you can only use it on 2 of the lifting days. I'm doing vitamin D.
Okay.
Vitamin D. Jimmy's got me on vitamin C post-workout. I do that. You still a fan of that, vitamin C?
Oh, I love vitamin C post-workout.
All right. Also, for the first 2 weeks, I did not, but I just started using Hot Rocks for the last 2 weeks because I'm trying to get, you know, the best bang for my buck. Energy was down a little bit in the gym, so I'll be using that to just get a little extra kick in the ass, and hopefully, you know what, if it gives me an extra pound in these next 2 weeks, I think it's worth my money. I just want to, you know, go through this, and obviously I ordered some leucine. I did that on Friday, so I'll probably get it midway next week. Obviously, your staples of fish oil. I'm using Fiber Choice tablets to make up for any fiber when necessary. Superfood, using superfood because, like today, Sunday, believe it or not, no matter how fast I'm talking right now, this is my no carb day. I'm not allowed to have any carbohydrates whatsoever. I can't even have vegetables. So what I'm doing is I'm going to use 2 servings of superfood. I just did one where I had some fantastic 96% lean hamburgers from Trader Joe's. I had 2 of those, and I had a serving of superfood, and I'm going to do the same thing a little bit later. I'm going to have my second serving of eggs and bacon for the day, which eggs and turkey bacon.
Awesome.
I should mostly say it's 2 whole eggs, and then I got 2/3 cups of egg whites, and then I got 3 slices of Trader Joe's turkey bacon, which is, I'm a Trader Joe's whore now.
Yeah.
So that's just how it is. I don't know, let me see. What else is there?
Yeah, I think when you're talking like amino acids with diet, and you can definitely use them. Like, I hear a lot of people saying you shouldn't use them because they cause insulin release, and that's just asinine, because you have to realize insulin is released biphasic, so in two stages. Amino acids only cause the first stage of that insulin release, and insulin release isn't all that bad. When insulin's present in the muscle cell, there's absolutely no way we're going to break down muscle tissue when sufficient insulin is present. So I think that's kind of a ludicrous, because even for like myself now, trying to build muscle, I take my amino acids, but I don't like mega dose them. Take them pre and post workout, you know, and that's depends on how I'm training that day too.
Yeah, that's I did not know that.
Well, I try to keep you on your toes here, bud.
You are. Speaking of learning, I mean, well, Jimmy, do you have any other, you know, recommendations? Like, I've been trying to keep it on a pretty, you know, low budget as possible. You wouldn't think that considering everything I just listed. But again, it's like 1 month of all out, no holds barred. Let's just do the best we can and go from there.
Of what? Like, what are you, like,
supplements?
Oh, supplements? No, you sound like you had it covered. I mean, like, with what's going on with my training and nutrition now, I'm actually at the lowest point in supplements that I've ever been, and I am a supplement fan. You know, I take a B-complex, a multi, a C. You know, and I know people say not to take a multi. I guess that's one of the...
Why not?
Well, because people say it doesn't have enough quantities of nutrients in it. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm just like, I'm going to take it. It's inexpensive.
Do you mind if I ask which brand?
I take the NOW brand. I take Ecto Green, or Ecto. It's like their green supplement, and it's a multi. So I take a multi, a B, a C, alpha lipoic acid, fish oil, BCAAs, protein, zinc, and magnesium. Like, those are just kind of like basic supplements. I don't take anything too crazy, you know, because I'm also not in the gym as much as I used to be because of how my split is now. And this is love him or hate him. This is a Polican inspired split, simply because I'm in the gym. 2 days, I have a day off, then I'm in another day, then I have a day off, and then I repeat the whole cycle again. You know, so I'll end up training, like my chest and my back twice in a 6 week, a 6 or 7 day period, which is a lot more than most guys will do it. So Monday will be chest and back, Tuesday will be legs, Wednesday will be off, Thursday will be arms, Friday will be off, Saturday will be chest and back again, Sunday will be legs, Monday will be off, Tuesday will be arms again. So I love that because I was way too burnt out because, you know, I am bodybuilding to the core, so I was in the gym, you know, 4 to 5 days, you know, with maybe one day off, and I was just totally burnt out. So I think that's what people, like, you're dieting now, Kev, so you have different needs than you had before, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, it should be interesting. One thing that's very cool about cutting fat is that you can do more pull-ups.
Yes.
So that's always a nice little perk to have. And to update people on fantasy football front, I am now 1-3, and I am also beating Brian St. Pierre, the part-time guy we have at Crested Performance. So I'm doing all right. Jimmy, are you doing any fantasy football things like that? Like, I'm rooting for Eli Manning, and this is after, you know, the whole, you know, discussion that we had about how much I hate the New York Giants come last Super Bowl.
I am not actually doing any fantasy football. I drafted the teams because I absolutely love live fantasy drafts. I drafted them, but I got so busy that I just didn't pay attention. This is like the first time I'm watching NFL football in 2 or 3 weeks. So,
well, we've been staying busy.
Yeah. I've been staying busy, so I haven't even watched it.
Got anything we can tease yet?
No tease, really. It's just I'm actually building a new website now because basically what happened is I used this blog software on my Jimmy Smith training site, and it kind of screwed the site up. And I had always wanted to give just a lot of content. Like, I wanted to be about giving more and more valuable content. So I actually started a new blog. It's not out there yet. I mean, if you watch my recent video that I mailed out on YouTube, 3 Tricks to Improve Your Bench, it teases the site. But that's just going to be like my home on the internet where I'm giving video, audio, article content. Because that's just what I want to make it. I just want to make it, you know, a page like, you know, you go to just to get a lot of awesome content. I have some people contribute and work to it too. So,
nice.
But that's coming in a couple days. So,
very cool. I think that we're gonna wrap it up here for now. I believe it or not, I will be taking my CSCS exam next week. Now that I have actual paperwork from Keene State College saying that I graduated, which is all nice and good, and you know what, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we'll have some news on it come Sunday, but what we're going to do is we're going to get out of here now, and we're going to jump into the Chris Bell interview. Like we said, it was probably, you know, the one of the top five or eight interviews that we've ever had on the show. And you have no reason not to pick up this DVD right now. Go to Amazon.com if you want to pause it. I actually just got the DVD, so I'm going to be watching the bonus stuff because I didn't know there was that much bonus content in the DVD. So I hope I sold that enough for all of you. So we're out of here. We will see you next week, and enjoy Chris Bell. Hey everyone, we're here with Chris Bell. He is the director and star of Bigger, Stronger, Faster, a documentary about why the United States is the biggest, strongest, and fastest country in the world. Bigger, Stronger, Faster has a 100% rating on RottenTomatoes.com, and personally, it's one of my favorite movies and also Jimmy's, and it's really a great movie, whether you know you're into bodybuilding or not. You can check out the website. It's BiggerStrongerFasterMovie.com. You can pick up the DVD available now. You can go to Amazon, go to your favorite DVD store, you should pick up a copy. Chris, thanks for coming on and talking to us for a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Chris, we do have a bunch of questions from the listeners. We'll start off just pretty basic question. What inspired you to make a documentary on the United States' obsession with being the best in athletics?
Well, you know, it was pretty simple, actually. It wasn't really a decision at all. It was a kind of something that was culminating in my mind forever. You know, when I first went to film school at USC in 1994 is when I left New York to come out to L.A. and attend film school, and mainly because I wanted to make Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. And I wanted to make big, you know, big-budget action movies, and that's what I wanted to explore. So I went to film school for it. And one of the things I always thought was, like, well, at one point I'm going to have to make my anti-steroid movie and show people that steroids are killing people and that they're bad and they're terrible and, you know, show, you know, the difference between a natural athlete and the guy who's cute. You know, it was always like an idea in my mind. And then they came out with movies like The Program, which have like a ridiculous look at like how steroids, you know, work in college football and stuff like that. And, you know, what happened was basically there was no climate to tell a story about steroids. There was really no need for anybody to talk about it unless it was going to be a really niche bodybuilding movie. But I think when baseball came out and kind of admitted that all these guys were using steroids, the climate really changed pretty much instantly to where I started pitching the movie around Hollywood. You know, hey, I want to make a documentary about steroids and performance-enhancing drugs, but I also have, you know, something else to tell. My brothers are both on steroids, so I have a completely different outlook on it now. You know, 10 years later, I wanted to make that anti-steroids movie. 10 years later, my brothers are both taking steroids, and I'm looking at them, and, like, one of my brothers is kind of, you know, a mess in a way where he can't get his life together and he's trying to achieve this American dream. And my younger brother has a wife and a kid and, you know, a successful gym and he's doing great and he's taking steroids. I'm looking at it going like, okay, like, are they good or bad? I can't really tell because my brothers are like, one's going one way, one's going the other way. And it's probably not because of the steroids. It was more about this pursuit of perfection and pursuit of the American dream.
Yeah, that's kind of, you hit on a point right there. You said the pursuit of the American dream, and that's how a lot of people start out. You know, even athletics, they think they have to go towards drugs. You know, that comes into their mind that that's the pursuit of athletic perfection. Did you get any issues from bodybuilders or any bodybuilding magazines because part of the industry doesn't like talking about steroid use and that it's, you know, kind of a quote-unquote dark secret, you know, take the protein powders and grow?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first thing I encountered was that a lot of people just didn't want to talk about it in general. So you're trying to make a documentary and people just don't even want to talk to you or acknowledge that you're, you know, making the film. And, you know, even guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't want to talk to us because they have a reputation to uphold. They have certain things that they can and can't say. And so we did encounter a lot of people just, first of all, not wanting to talk to us. On the flip side of that, you know, once we made the movie, there were some things in there like we showed how the dietary supplement industry can be, you know, both good and bad. It can be great. You know, a lot of people take supplements with great, you know, results. And there's other companies out there marketing things with the idea if you take a pill, you're going to look like Jay Cutler, you know,
yeah,
for example. And Muscle Tech was actually the one that came down on us and said they fired a guy who was in our movie, Christian Boving, because Christian admitted, you know, hey, look, I use steroids, and, you know, but, yeah, I also take their supplements. You know, in a deleted scene that it was released online, you know, Jay pretty much says the same thing, but he never got fired. You know, so there is, a hypocrisy there between, you know, what's going on in the supplement industry. And, like, you know, I just think that we need to clamp down a little bit on the advertising, because I know for myself as a kid, I would look at a magazine, I would see Arnold, and he was advertising some supplement. I'd go run out and buy it, and it wouldn't do anything, or it wouldn't do what they say it does, I should say.
This is kind of an early question in the interview, but Chris, I know this is kind of your baby, but what was your favorite part of just the whole process, or just what was your favorite part of the movie in general?
Well, you know, making a documentary, I think, it's a lot of fun, first of all, to be involved in doing it. It's also very frustrating. So while it was the most fun thing I ever did in my life, it was also the most frustrating. Like, you're trying to get interviews with people, you're trying to talk to people, and they don't want to talk to you, and you're trying to, like, things fall through one after another. But, you know, the fun aspect of it was basically being on a shooting, I think, was probably my favorite part, because every day it was a new adventure. You know, I'd go talk to an anti-aging doctor, I'd go talk to supplements, I'd go talk to, you know, a professional athlete like Carl Lewis or Floyd Landis or Ben Johnson, you know, guys that I looked up to. You know, Carl Lewis and Ben Johnson were guys I looked up to when I was young, and to be able to actually get them on camera and talk to them and actually be revealing, you know, some things that a lot of people didn't already know, was both, like, interesting and nerve-wracking and fun. You know, you get kind of nervous talking to these guys when you're about to push them on a question, like, you know, Carl Lewis, probably the most nervous point of the whole movie was telling Carl Lewis, like, hey, you failed the drug test and you shouldn't even race against Ben Johnson. How do you feel about that? You know, you get really nervous asking those questions. You know, I remember interviewing Gary Wadler, who's like a very anti-steroid advocate. And even though, like, I was very anti-steroid when I was a young kid, I listened to Gary Wadler and I go, this guy's just completely insane. You know, and I just remember nailing him on question after question and walking out of the interview going, like, oh yeah, I nailed him. You know, it feels good to be able to do that, to be able to know that you got people to say what you wanted them to say.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite parts of the movies, where you actually sat down with Carl Lewis, because you heard about for so many years that he may have tested positive. You know, Ben Johnson and Charlie Francis got outlawed for, you know, what happened up there. But then when you said what you said to him, it was like, I'm happy he said that. You know, because I'm sitting there waiting on the edge of my seat. I'm like, say it, Chris, say it.
yeah, it was interesting. Well, because I say, you know, yeah, maybe the medal should go to the guy in fourth place. And, you know, there's actually, just goes to show you, like, the theme of bigger, stronger, faster. It's like, do what you have to do to win, or here's what happens to you. And one of the guys that we were trying to get an interview with, and I don't know how it would have went, but he just didn't even want to talk on camera. This guy, I believe his name is Calvin Smith, he came in fourth in the race where Carl Lewis beat Ben Johnson. But if you look at actually everything going on at the time, he was the only guy that was actually clean in the entire race of 10 people. So he should have won the gold medal, and we wanted to interview him. Hey, how does it feel now you're a school teacher making $22,000 in Florida? How does it feel to be, you know, you were the fastest guy in the world. Now, look, you got nothing, you know, and that was the difference. It's like, you know, Carl Lewis drove up to our interview in a Maserati, you know? And people say, oh, there's no money in the Olympics and blah, 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 but he's got such big endorsements. The interesting thing about Ben Johnson was, like, he's pretty, you know, hurting now, too, for money, where he's just, like, training people and doing other things. But he was about to buy a private jet, and what happened to him. And, you know, sometimes karma is, you know, plays into it. I mean, Ben Johnson was about to buy a private jet, and all his contracts were about to expire. His contracts expired right before the Olympics. He figured he was going to run in the Olympics, win it, and then he was going to renegotiate all his contracts. Well, what happened was he was, going to buy this private jet, and then once he tested positive for steroids, nobody would sign him to anything. So he was completely broke, you know, and so that's just a lesson learned in, like, you know, hey, look, there are risks to this that you take, not only, you know, health-wise, but financially, you know, in some aspects.
Well, that's like the whole Jose Canseco, Mike Greenwald thing a couple of years ago when Canseco won the MVP with Oakland. You know, Greenwald was a right fielder for the Red Sox, and he was like, Canseco took juice and got the MVP, and I didn't, and I came in second. Now he's making
X million dollars. Win it all cost mentality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the win at all costs attitude.
For sure.
So some people, the thing is, like, a lot of people say, look, the cream always rises to the top, you know? And I believe in some respects that's true. Like, you're going to have, it's not going to make somebody who is terrible great, you know, but it will make somebody who's, you know, good, like Jose, it could make him great, you know? So those are the things you have to look for. I mean, I think, like, in sports, we're looking at a different aspect. I know some people have differing opinions. I talk to some people who say, you know what, let everybody take juice. Who cares, you know? And I have other people who say, well, look, I mean, you're competing in a sport against other people, and everybody shouldn't be held to the same standard and have to take drugs in order to compete. And I tend to agree with that. I think that if you're playing a sport, you know, and the sport is drug tested, then you should lay off of it. If you're playing a sport like bodybuilding, for example, and there are no drug tests for it, then go for it, you know. But if there's drug testing involved, I think that, you know, in fair conscience, you should stay away from it if there's testing involved. But then again, a lot of guys just get around the test. What do you do?
That's a whole other thing, right? These guys are getting around the test left and right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you
watch the DVD of Bigger, Stronger, Faster, there's a lot of scenes, deleted scenes in there where we talk about, you know, Olympic drug testing and how guys have come up with better tests and the tests weren't accepted by the proper authorities because they didn't want the Americans to be on an unlevel playing field. Basically, like, if we used a really good test, then we'd be held to a higher standard, and that way we couldn't cheat, you know, and so that's interesting stuff to see as well.
There's a section in the movie, Chris, called Steroid 101. I believe that's what you call it. It's actually, they should show that in, like, elementary schools and middle schools, because it's about a 10-15-minute clip where you talk about the good and the bad of steroids. You go into the science behind it, and I personally thought it was a very objective look at it.
Funny is that animation is only, like, 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
It seems like we packed so much information into, like, 2 minutes. And the reason why we had to keep it to a limit was we were working under a budget. And when you're working in a budget, you can't make something go, yeah. So there were some facts that I wanted to put in there that I didn't get to put in there. But, yeah, I definitely think that, like, that, you know, Steroids 101 was basically, it was kind of a, I guess, like a spoof of the old educational films. You know, because it had, like, the really lighthearted music in it, like, you know, like, flute playing and stuff. And you know, I'm like, this is Steroids 101. And actually, when I was delivering the voiceover for that, my producer kept saying, do it like you're talking to kids, you know? And that's kind of how I did the voice. And so hopefully nobody takes offense to that. But it was basically like, I was like, let me break it down. Like, you know, because I'm basically saying, like, all people think this is so crazy. Let me break it down for you. All steroids are synthetic versions of the male hormone testosterone. We all have it running through our veins. It's nothing crazy, you know, in controlled atmospheres, here's what it does, you know? And, you know, like, I found, you know, through my research and talking to a lot of bodybuilders and people, I think bodybuilders are the experts on steroids. I think that I went and talked to all the so-called experts, and I learned more from talking to guys in the gym about it because they've actually, you know, been there and done that. But I think that there is something about the experts where they're presenting a more unbiased view because they're not actually taking the drug. So a lot of people that are taking the drug go, steroids don't do anything. I have no side effects. And I said, what about that gyno surgery? I said, it's a Christian Bovink. What about the gyno surgery you had? And he goes, oh, yeah, that is a side effect. You know, so it's interesting to hear both sides of it when you're like, you know, that's why somebody like me has to step in and make a movie that's down the middle so you don't get, you know, this one-sided slant. And look, for me to go out and make a film that said, look, steroids have no side effects would be totally irresponsible. And, you know, and to do the vice versa, and look, it's killing people when I can't prove it, would be totally irresponsible. So I just wanted to show the facts.
Chris, we were talking a little bit before the interview started that I trained at Gold's this past summer, and I just wanted to ask you, do you know the story behind Arnold's posters going back up? Because I remember when I was there, Arnold's posters were back up, but in the in the movie you're telling how they're talking about how they were taken down.
Well, I think what happened is, I'll tell you, in all reality, and I'm friends with a lot of guys at Gold's and they're great over there, and I think what happened was, basically, from what I heard, and here's just what I heard, and this has been like a controversy. My best friend runs Gold's Gym, so it's been a controversy for me for a little while, but basically, I went into the gym, and they were ripping all Arnold's posters off the wall. And I said, whoa, what's going on? And of course, I grabbed the camera, and we shot it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, look, Arnold's, you know, this comes directly from one of the managers. Is Arnold's people called the gym and said, look, you have to take down all his posters. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's Governor Schwarzenegger, not a bodybuilder. You have to take down all his pictures. So they took down all his pictures. His pictures were off the wall for a year, right? The movie premiered in movie theaters May 30th. The day after it premiered and the people at Gold saw it, the posters went back up. So they were gone for a year, and actually his Mr. Olympia poster, like if you look at on the wall where all the Mr. Olympias are,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody else is accounted for except for Arnold. He's not there anymore. They actually ripped that poster off the wall and damaged it when they ripped it off the wall. If you see the movie, like they rip it apart, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Charles Glass. You guys know Charles Glass?
Yeah.
You know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Charles Glass, like a legendary trainer in Gold's Gym. I remember him running up the stairs going, what are you doing, man? Put those back up. You know? And then they're pulling the posters up. He goes, don't break them. If you're going to break them, I'll take them. I'll take them with me. You know? And, I was freaking out that the posters were coming down, and you realize, like, you know, Arnold really is an inspiration to a lot of these people. And he's, you know, like me being one of them. I still think he's probably the best bodybuilder ever. You look at him and you just go, like, man, that guy had, like, an amazing physique. Nothing was, like, overdone, you know. It wasn't, like, the physique thing where they look like more like dinosaurs. But I, you know, I think that Arnold locked to a lot of people, and I think that he should, you know, respect his roots. And a lot of times I think what Arnold does isn't what Arnold does. It's what he's doing, you know. So right. You can never tell if it's coming directly from him or not.
Well, the thing about Arnold is, too, is his arms and his chest were his two show parts, and those are the two body parts that people want. They want big arms. They want a big chest. And also the whole bodybuilding, fitness, strength world, it's very small, and it's a very individual sport, but at the same time, it's because it's so small, we're like, hey, us, this is us. And, you know, we have Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's our guy, you know? And
he's, like our only, he's our only hero, basically.
Yeah.
And now he's gone from the gym, you know?
You know, like everybody else has their own icons, but we have Arnold, you know, the governor, the actor, the greatest bodybuilder of all time. He was a bodybuilder, and I think that's why it hurt so bad to have all those posters come down. Now, you did a lot of
interviews. Well, it just wasn't the same when they were gone either. You're like, oh, man, where are those awesome pictures of Arnold? Like, you know, you don't think about it when you're working out. It's not like I gaze into the Arnold posters and like, lift every year, but, like, it's part of the aura of the gym, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody knows him, too, and... You know, like you mentioned, you couldn't get him to do an interview, but who was your favorite interview that maybe didn't make the movie that, you know, got left on the cutting room floor?
Well, Jay Cutler was in a deleted scene. I enjoyed interviewing him just because he was really interesting to talk to. You know, Jay's very soft-spoken, and so a lot of people just were like, oh, it's boring. And I'm like, well, it's interesting what he's saying, actually. He's just soft, you know, he's not very overly charismatic. You know, and in hindsight, actually, we actually wish we had put Jay in the film. But we actually, like, looking back at it, we put him in the wrong spot. So when we were editing the film and cutting it down for time, there was an actual spot where Jay was in the movie amongst all these other body image, you know, with bodybuilders, and they were talking about body image and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, had we taken that out, that Jay part, and moved it, like, into the supplement, you know, part, I think it would have been a lot stronger. But we, you know, it's like when you make a film, every once in a while you make mistakes, and that's the one thing I regret is that I didn't get that in the right spot where I wanted it to now, and it's like, you know, it might have not even worked, who knows, we didn't even ever try it, so, once you make a final cut of the film and send it off to Sundance, like, and somebody buys it, like, that's kind of it, you know, but yeah, that was probably the one that I would say was, I really enjoyed interviewing Jay. He was a great guy, and he was very open and honest, and I really respect that more than anything, you know, more than any guy come and saying, like, hey, I'll do an interview with you, whatever, and then lie to you, you know, and so I don't like being lied to, and you can tell when you're being lied to. I just knew, you know, Jay was 100% honest with me. It was great.
Throughout the movie, you also, I mean, kind of the narrative of the movie is that you mentioned that you're against steroid use for yourself. However, throughout the process of researching and making the movie, did your opinion of steroid use or the people that use performance-enhancing drugs change at all from the experience?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you start researching it and you go, like, well, I'm against steroids because I think they're dangerous, then you find out, well, maybe they're not as dangerous as we thought. Well, what are the side effects? And you find out, and you go, well, what if I were to, you know, I'm 35 years old now. What if I were to go to a doctor? What if I were to have, you know, this done and that done. And, you know, the thing was, I actually took testosterone post making the movie. And I'll give you a great example why. I went to, I had arthritis in my hips. I was a power lifter forever. And after a while, I just had to stop competing because I was in so much pain all the time and I couldn't really figure it out. Well, what was happening was the cartilage in my hips was deteriorating, and not from powerlifting, but basically the doctor said powerlifting actually helped it. It's just a degenerative disorder that runs in my family. So I had to have both hips completely replaced. And as soon as I had both hips replaced, I went to see a doctor because the doctor, I asked my doctor, I said, well, I heard that, you know, bone growth is helped by the use of testosterone. And he said, well, I'd stay away from that. It's going to make your blood clot, blah, blah, blah. So then I went to see this, you know, anti-aging doctor and talked to him, you know, wellness doctor. And I said, you know, what about, you know, what would be the benefit of me taking this post-surgery? And he basically said, well, I can't prescribe it to you for post-surgery because it's illegal, which I think is stupid because it helps you recover.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went on a 15-week cycle of testosterone. And when my doctor looked at my x-rays, he just said, you should be the poster boy for, you know, bone regrowth. He's like, I've never seen anything like this. He's like, it's amazing. Everything's completely grown in. You're like, you're ready to go. You know, unfortunately, one of my hips, there's a problem with the part that they put in. So I actually have to get it redone. And when they redo it, I'll probably do the same thing. They'll it actually is not the fault of the surgeon. It's the fault of the company who made the manufactured the parts. There was a flaw in the part. So I have a recall on my hip. So now when I do that again, probably the first thing I'll do is go see that same doctor again, you know, and basically go through it again, because I think that, you know, steroids have been demonized, but when you look at them for medical uses, it's like, why wouldn't you do everything in your power to get better? You know, you're sick and you want to get better, and here's something that you can do. And so while I'm not using it for performance enhancing or, you know, cheat anybody out of their medal or their trophy, you know, I'm using it to get myself better. I think that that's a totally practical use for it.
Definitely.
Chris, who was like the biggest person that you wanted to interview but you didn't get a chance to, besides Arnold? You know, maybe Joe Weider, Bill Phillips, any of those people?
Yeah, you know, I find like Bill Phillips and a lot of these guys in the supplement industry really interesting because they all started out as steroid dealers, and they realized they couldn't make money selling steroids, so they turn to dietary supplements, and then they tell you that the dietary supplements are just like steroids. So I would try to interview Bill Phillips. I tried to interview a lot of people, Hulk Hogan, you know, various people that just would say no, you know, Sylvester Stallone. And I just wanted to talk to him. I mean, I think you see, like, in my style of interviewing people, I'm not really trying to burn them on anything. I just ask the questions. And so, you know, a lot of people, they just couldn't be bothered. You know, like, well, what do I get out of it? It's kind of what they think, you know, in a way. Like, and they're right in some respects, but you just wish that they would talk to you about it.
This is kind of, I don't know if you're okay with talking about this, but how did your family react after seeing the final cut of the documentary?
You know what? The thing is, like, I would never do anything to exploit my family or family members. And so I basically told my family, look, this movie could be a complete bomb. And if you guys don't like it, then, you know, you just let me know. Say the word and I'll pull the plug, you know, whatever. And my family saw it and they all loved it. I mean, every single person in my family, right? Because they get so wrapped up in the movie that I think when their parts come on or the parts that they're in, like, they're just as engaged in the movie as anybody else. And it's funny because I now kind of look at my family, it's kind of sad to say this, but I look at my family as, like, the characters in the movie almost, because you become so, you know, when you're sitting there editing and you're working, like, 85 hours a week like we were towards the end, you look at these people as, like, oh, you know, here's the Mad Dog character, here's the Smelly character, here's, you know, my mom and dad character, and it's like they just become characters almost, and so it's really interesting. But I think that my family has become a lot closer because of the movie. I mean, it's like all everybody talks about is the movie, and everybody's really proud of it. So, you know, when you do something and you do it right and you do it with the right intentions, I think that, you know, no one can really get mad at you.
Chris, I'm going to ask you about the DVD in a second, but how did, like, your local community respond to the movie? Because I actually have a bunch of buddies that live in Wappinger Falls, which is right outside of Poughkeepsie, and they were loving it. They were like, he's from Poughkeepsie, he's the man. You know, how was, like, the local community?
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, that's really great. I mean, I haven't really been back to Poughkeepsie a lot since I moved to Los Angeles. But I would say, like, my home base now is, like, Venice Beach. And, you know, when I walk around Gold's Gym, everybody's just constantly talking about the movie. So I think that that's great. And, you know, my parents, they screened the movie in Poughkeepsie, and my parents were there, and they just had a great time because everybody really was happy that, you know, somebody was, first of all, making a movie, because nobody does that from Poughkeepsie. And secondly, like, I think there's a lot of guys back there. I mean, when I grew up in Poughkeepsie, there was more huge guys in my gym in Poughkeepsie than I see at Gold's Venice nowadays, yeah, because Gold's has changed a lot. And, like, everybody was on stuff, everybody. And everybody was huge. And me and my brother, Mark, or Smelly, as we call him in the movie, me and Smelly were, like, always against steroids. And we would lift amongst these monsters. And, you know, my brother was in ninth grade when he bench pressed 315 pounds. Naturally.
Wow.
You know, he bench pressed, both of us have bench pressed 500 pounds naturally. And when you look at, all these other guys, and we were beating them without steroids, like, that would make us proud. Like, well, we're not on stuff, and they are, and we're beating them. So that was, like, you know, in our community in Poughkeepsie, steroids were definitely a big deal. They were around everywhere.
All right. Now, what's the deal with the DVD? What kind of bonuses or extra stuff are you going to have on the DVD version?
Well, on the DVD, there's a lot of good stuff. There's, like I said, there was a Olympic drug testing scene. There's more fun stuff with our buddy Greg Valentino, who was a quite a personality. There's a deleted scene with some more bodybuilding stuff in it. That's the scene with Jay Cutler and a lot of other bodybuilders like Lee Priest and Tony Freeman, Will Harris. They're all featured in there. And then there's about 45 minutes altogether of extra footage, and most of them were just scenes that were actually in the movie, but we had to cut. There's a really interesting scene where, you know, we take, obviously this can't be taken as a case study, but I took my brothers to the doctor, to a heart doctor who did a full body scan to check all their organs. And my older brother, Mad Dog, who, you know, has done every drug under the sun, from ecstasy to cocaine to, you know, alcohol, lots of alcohol and steroids, you know, along with a lot of painkillers and other stuff, ended up having plaque on his heart, and to a substantial degree. When I went through the scanner, I was completely fine. When my younger brother went through the scanner, he was completely fine. My younger brother had been on steroids at a dose of at least a gram a week for 3 years straight. You know, that's a lot of juice to be on. And he was told, and his heart was totally fine. You go, well, wait a second, I thought this was supposed to clog your heart and kill you, you know? And, you know, the doctor couldn't explain it. The doctor was like, well, you know, some people just get lucky, you know? And I said, well, what about him? And he's like, well, it's because of the steroids. I go, well, it's not because of the cocaine and the pot and the this and that, you know? And they're like, no, it's because of the steroids, you know? And that's like a closed-minded look at it, you know? Like, maybe there's other reasons why people are dropping dead, especially, you know, my brother was a pro wrestler, and pro wrestlers get caught up in this thing where they get on the road and they're in pain, and the only way to make it to the next town is to pop a pain pill, right? And then that one pain pill goes to 12, and then you're in trouble, you know? And then they become addicted to them, and they just do whatever they have to do to get them, and then they start doing, you know, other drugs because they're basically, you know, like heroin's the same thing as the opiates that are in Oxycontin, you know? So they start doing stuff like that, and it just gets out of hand, you know? And you got to, you know, those are the things, actually, like, you know, WWE has a wellness policy, and the one thing that they're more worried about is painkillers and steroids, and there's a reason for that, because painkillers will kill you, you know?
Well, Chris, I really want to thank you for your time. Everyone out there, pick up the DVD right now. Again, you can pick it up on Amazon.com. It's one of the greatest movies you're going to see all year, and it's just very eye-opening. And
one
again,
of the greatest of all time, I would say.
I would say as well. I mean, you're not biased.
No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
no, I have to say, like, every once in a while I catch myself getting caught up in my own film, which is a good thing, because I usually hate everything that I do. I think as an artist you usually do, and I, you know, was able to work with the right people and make a funny, entertaining documentary, and I'm really proud of it. So I, you know, every once in a while, like, I'll catch myself watching it. I'm like, why am I watching this? I've seen it 8,000 times, you know? And I think everybody out there will enjoy it.
Yeah, they really will. I watched it twice in 1 week, and I've been talking about it on the website, and people have been talking that they got to see it in theaters, and now you get to see it in home. And you can watch it 8,000 times like Chris, or you can just watch it a couple like Ed.
Yeah. You know what I think, though, it's interesting is, like, it's the kind of movie where you go and you rent it or you buy it, and you say to your friend, you have to see this, and you sit down and watch it with them again. You know, because
that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. You're like, see, I told you. And you know what the funny thing is, before we go here, I just wanted to tell you guys, this movie has been both interesting to watch the audience reaction to it, because we had a booth at the Olympia, and every time, like, I'd have some, like, hot girl come up to me, like, oh, my God, I loved your movie, because their boyfriend made them watch it, right? So I'm like, oh, great, I'm screwed. And, like, every interview I saw, every DVD and, like, photo and everything that I signed was always some, like, big, huge guy going, hey, man, you're the man, thanks for making this movie. You know, and I'm going, like, where are all the girls that would not like it, you know? It's funny, though, because girls do like it, but they're always forced to watch it because it's something that doesn't typically appeal to them on the outside, you know? But once they get into watching it, they're really interested in it. So I think it's, you know, great for all demographics.
Yeah, I forced my girl to watch it, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then they come up to me and go, hey, great movie, and you get all excited, and she's like, yeah, my boyfriend made me watch it. You go, oh, forget it.
Well, again, Chris, I really want to thank you for your time, and everyone out there, I mean, there's nothing else to say. Go pick up the movie right now. Go to Amazon.com. You're probably at your computer right now, so go do it. Thanks again, Chris, and that will wrap it up for everyone here.
Great. Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Yeah, I think every sport and every sort of endeavor in general has its guru, like has its guy, you know? I think, like, for steroids, obviously it was Dan Duchesne. for bodybuilding, you know, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger led the pack and everybody wanted to be like Arnold, and, you know, in powerlifting was Louis, basically, yeah.
Well, I mean, my favorite scene in the whole movie is when you do the whole Schwarzenegger-Carl Weathers hand clap thing. I mean, I knew a line for a line, man. I was like, that is so awesome that he's including that, because every kid growing up who was a meathead loved that scene.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing was, as a kid growing up watching all these heroes, people say, like, hey, you criticize your heroes in this movie and blah, blah, blah. Are they still your heroes? And I say, absolutely. Like, I just watched Predator and Commando the other day. I just watched First Blood again the other day. And the reason why is, like, these guys are making awesome movies, and the fact that they did steroids really doesn't have a whole lot to do with it. Just for me, it was like a secret that I didn't know about, you know?
Right.
And it was something that just wasn't disclosed. It was like, they're your heroes, but you don't always get full disclosure. And then you say like, well, are they obligated to? You know, they're not, you know, in a sport really, which makes it, an interesting aspect. If you look at like the guys that I looked up to, it was like Stallone, Schwarzenegger, and Hulk Hogan. None of them were playing a sport necessarily. Right. I mean, wrestling admits to being sports entertainment, not like a real sport. So you look at it in the entertainment field, you say, are steroids bad? Are they killing people? And that's what I wanted to explore, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Oh, Chris, well, we'll get started. If you don't mind, I would love to include like literally the last 2 minutes that we just talked about at the end of the interview, if you don't mind.
Sure.
That was just great stuff, but we'll start the interview. I just want to let you know.
I thought you already were starting. I'm always ready to roll.
I was going to say, I mean, we should just...
I was like
going
to interview mode as soon as we start talking. Yeah.
This is pre-recorded, so if there's anything you do want to cut out, just let me know. We can just edit it.
No, I'm good with anything, you know.
All right, awesome. We'll get started right now.